This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, orketa, to our PNG listeners, and of course, hello to everyone. Welcome to Neesian Footy, the go-to place for all your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and my usual Cook Island Coey is not here again. I feel like I'm on repeat when I say that. Tinida Arona, he's away for another Monday, but we have a treat. We have the Tongan King come back. Nah, not the actual king, but it's Will Hopewate. Obviously, no introduction needed. Outstanding. Legend of the game is retired up. Will, welcome back, bro.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks for having me. Malolei, everyone. Another jam-packed NRL round to get into as we get closer to the finals. The Rugby Championship, Sammy, kicked off with some interesting results.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Our Wallabies went down, unfortunately. But another positive news, got my little, or not so little brother, Lehi Hopewate as a special guest today.
Hey, what can we expect from Lee? I'm really looking forward to it, especially because of the younger sibling, I guess, to make his debut in the NRL family. But what can we expect from him?
Lehi's a very down-to-earth young man. And one thing that, you know, as an older brother that I like about Lehi is he hasn't really changed from when he was, you know, 5-year-old to now that he's in the limelight. And, you know, you'd think, you know, he's made his debut. He's on, you know, national TV, getting a bit more coin. That it changes, you know, his style, his fashion, be going out. But he's just a homeboy, man, and he just loves, playing game, watching movies. I actually live across the road from Lehi, and so we catch up every now and then, go for feeds. He's got to start shouting me now, I think.
It's time to collect. They've kept all those receipts. 100%. Now we're keen to have that chat and listen to all the stories because I'm sure it's going to be fun, exciting, but also very insightful.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, moment of the week. I'm looking forward to sharing this one because I was just scrolling through social media and I came across the NRL Titans, the NRLW Titans page, and I saw Toru Arukua, one of the Cook Island players for the Titans. She became Titan number 44. She's represent the Cook Islands as well last year. They had a jersey presentation. I'm not sure if it was her little sister or a cousin, but she stole the show. Like, they had the music going. All the Titans players were clapping in the background, and she put on a nice little dance show for the crew, probably better than the breakdancer over in the Olympics. I'm sure she would have won gold with this performance, but we're going to play a bit of the audio now.
Just firstly, thanks to the staff from everything there for this opportunity. To my family, that's always been the backbone of everything I do. My brothers, massive thank you.
But go to the Titans NRLW page and just look at the young girl just going for gold. There's a couple of nice little shoulder rolls, little hip moves. Stole some of the moves myself from her, but I love seeing that side of the game. You got the professional side, but you also have beautiful moments like that. So that was our moment of the week.
Hi, olimo tim lafaile tau melnu osiumu minasan kinchwa lafaile timoshi des ABC radio no nijin futi o kitemas.
Timoshi-san, arigatou gozaimasu. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu. You like that, Will? You like that, eh?
Yeah, that was very impressive, Sammy.
Well, that's enough about me. Let's head over to the footy results in NRL.
All right, there's some big scores over the weekend. Two games that stood out to me was the Manly and the Raiders game. I thought this was important, especially because Canberra, they come off the back of a loss last week, and it was they were celebrating Josh Papali'i's 300th. And for any player, especially a middle forward, to play over 300 games in the NRL is a huge occasion. And they were at home. They had everything to play for, but I thought Manly just blew them off the park. But speaking of Josh, I just wanted to shout him out because I've obviously got to play against him, unfortunately, a number of times. He's not the easiest bloke to tackle. And actually, remember, sometimes he would be playing on the edge when he first come through, and edge defenders kind of run at halfbacks and centers, and I was a victim of his many times, just Josh Papali'i, as he was running those lines. But it was great to see him play his 300th game. Another standout Nijin player for me in that match was Daniela Paseka. I think a lot of people obviously see his size, and I think over the past, well, this season really, he's been really using his size to his advantage. He's got a bit of footwork as well, which makes it hard to handle. And he scored a great try off inside ball off, I believe it was Cherry Evans, where he scored under the post.
Goes to Brooks, through the hands to Cherry Evans, back on the inside to Paseka. Paseka's through, this will be a try to Manly. It is! So easy! Straight up the centre. Raiders are shot here at Canberra Stadium. It's 32-12 with a kick to come.
And so, yeah, well done to Paseka on that try, his form. And not only that, I think he signed a contract extension with the Manly Seagulls to the end of 2029.
That's great news for the Brookie fans. Great news.
Great news for the Brookie fans. Great news for the Paseka family. Another game that stood out to me was the Dragons and the Bulldogs game. This was probably the most anticipated match of the round. Packed that house down at Cogra, Oakey Jubilee. And it's... As an opposition, it's not a fun place to play when it's full, with the crowd being so vocal and with two very passionate fan bases in the Bulldogs and the Dragons, and two very proud Sydney clubs with rich history. It was had much anticipation to it, but I think the Bulldogs obviously ran away with it in the end. They won 28-10. People speak a lot about the Bulldogs and their smaller forward pack. They use it to their advantage, their leg speed and their fitness, especially their defence has been outstanding. And I think it's come off the back of leaders in their team, namely Stephen Crichton and Viliami Kikau, two great Polynesian players of Samoan and Fijian heritage. And I think what amazes me about Stephen Crichton, I know he's been spoken a lot about in the media as of late, and deservedly so and rightly so, he... still very young, played over 100 games, three-time NRL premiership, and just the way he leads the boys around, and he's always very cool and calm defensively, and I think he showed his leadership again along with Viliami Kikau on the weekend.
You know, does it excite you as a past player seeing our Pacific, young Pacifica leaders, you know, as captains, as part of the leadership group, as part of the decision-making and structure of how they want to play the game and how they want their team to be perceived? Does it excite you when you see guys like Crichton doing that?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's only 22, 23 years old. And, you know, he's played already over 100 games. And just historically, there hasn't been many captains that are Polynesian in the NRL. And for him to be the captain of such a proud club in the Bulldogs, speak volumes of, you know, the Polynesian players that are coming through. And him, along with Viliami Kikau, their leadership obviously coming from the Penrith system, they're bringing some of those traits and attributes to the Canterbury club, and I think it's paying dividends for the Bulldogs club and the Bulldogs fans.
With the form that they're in, can they be the Smoky and go the distance?
I don't see why not. And I know in their, I believe in the inner sanctum of the playing group and the coaches, that's the mindset that they would have, like, no one expects us to win. Everyone thinks we got a smaller pack. And they'd just be like, we don't care. We're just going to roll with the punch and see where it goes. So looking forward to see that heading into the finals.
Well, I hope the Dogs go all the way. I am a Dogs supporter. I've dusted off the cobwebs from my couple of Dogs training kit, wearing it around Bankstown.
How good.
Absolutely. That's your Smoky. Who do you think are the genuine threats? I know Melbourne and Penrith are there, but in your eyes?
I think you mentioned the two, Melbourne or Penrith. It's crazy to see how good Penrith still are, especially every year they win a grand final, they lose so much talent, and yet their system stays in place, and I can't see Penrith losing. The only way, I feel like the only way Penrith lose is if they lose it themselves. But if everyone plays at their best, I think Penrith wins again.
Yeah, it's hard to see past. And you're right, when I think back at all the Penrith signings, it's not like they get big signings to their club, do they? It's not like they've gone and signed someone huge. It just seems to be next man up mentality. So exactly. Everyone just knows what the systems are over there, and hopefully, yeah, there could be a fourth grand final on the horizon for them.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And you think of the players they lost over the past couple of years, Coruscant, Kickow, Burton, Crichton, Capewell, Spencer Lenu.
Oh, the list goes on, and then they're going to lose Fisher-Harris next year.
Luai,
oh, mate.
It's a G-up. And before we leave the NRL, there's been talk about the North Sydney Bears looking set to return to the NRL as the Western Bears. Thoughts about that, Sammy?
The Grizzlies, they're going to enter the NRL again. So based over in Perth, is that right?
That's the talk. They're finalising their bid entry to join the NRL as the 18th side. So very interesting.
It would be. Like I lived in Perth for 8 years and played with the Western Force. And you're competing against AFL over there. Mm. Like the West Coast Eagles and the Fremantle Dockers, that's a genuine powerhouse. They're genuine powerhouse clubs and the fan base is towards those two. Yeah, you know, when we came in, there was definitely some fans there, but as soon as we started losing, they definitely went away pretty quick after that. But there is definitely also Pacifica communities in and around Perth, and they love their rugby league. So when they take NRL games there, when the Bunnies were playing over there a couple of times, I think the Dolphins get over there now for some of their home games.
Yeah,
like they come out of the woodworks, and there's a lot of Kiwis there too, a lot of Maldives, and they come with their Warriors jerseys. Yeah. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, the Dolphins are playing Canberra, they're coming there. So to have their own team, I think it's going to be an amazing team, and the Perth community or the Western Australian community will get behind them.
I remember playing over there in Perth, and we had a doubleheader. The other game, we were playing Melbourne. I was playing for the Bulldogs at the time, and the other game was the Warriors. It honestly felt like we were in Auckland.
It is like
that. I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised how many Kiwis are there. And Kiwi fans. And so I think now that there will be or potentially be an NRL team there, they could, you know, convert those rugby league fans into Bears fans, which would be good.
Well, that's what you're hoping for. And you're not wrong about the amount of Kiwis there, because when you play against the Chiefs in Waikato, there's a cowbell that they have in the crowd. On our home ground, they had the cowbell in the stands, like ringing it, and they're all going for the. We're getting booed on our home ground, so hopefully they get their own team and they support it, and it's successful for the 18th team over in the NRL.
Remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. Into other rugby league news, in the Jersey flag competition, the Silktails unfortunately weren't able to get the win on home soil over the weekend. They lost to the Sydney Roosters 36-8. And in the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters bounced back after last week's loss, winning 42-30 against the Seagulls in Port Moresby.
Oh, that's great news for the Hunters. Up the Hunters. Come on, the Silktails. The win, it's got to be around the corner. It's got to be there somewhere. We've got the faith. mate, a few more bonding sessions around the Carver Bowl. It's going to happen. But that's all we have for rugby league. Is that right, Will?
That's it, Sammy. Off to union.
Yeah, let's get over to rugby union. As you alluded to at the start of the show, some interesting results there. The Wallabies kicked off their rugby championship campaign against the number one team in the world, South Africa. And look, South Africa proved again why they are the number one team in the world. It was a dominant performance, winning 33-7. The Wallabies' only try came through Samuel and Hunter Paisami in the left corner when South Africa were down a man because they had one in the bin at the back end of the game. And look, obviously the scoreline wasn't great. I would put it out there when you just look at it from a scoreline, 33-7. But from what I saw, I definitely thought the Wallabies prepared for the physical battle, the physical nature of that game, and they certainly didn't shy away from fronting up and having a crack at the Springboks. But, you know, when your focus points and mindset is based around the physical contest, it also needs to be coupled with that controlled aggression, discipline, and being accurate for longer periods of time, you know, in all facets of the game. It just can't be around that tackle contest, what they were doing, because they were putting on some shots. They really fronted up.
And I'm going to ask you, Sam, how do you think they bounce back this weekend against them?
Well, I think they'd be really happy in parts of the game. You know, when you think about it, they're number one. The Wallabies actually ninth. So it's probably a true reflection on where they are at. But I think it's just a slow burn if take a lot of belief out of, you know, the long-term vision. If they can keep this side together for, you know, in the next cycle leading to the World Cup.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a lot of hope there because when you look at the experience of the Springboks, average age of 30 and a half,
mm-hmm.
1,041 test caps between
the squad.
The squad.
Wow.
When you look at Australia,
what's this?
It was average age of, you know, just under 26. Total caps, 528 test caps.
It's a half.
But if you look at that, when you break it right down, 206 of those caps are shared between two players, James Slipper and Alan Alalatoa.
Wow.
So
– and experience is a lot in those big games.
It is. Yeah. It is. And so I think there's a lot of – look, there's some positives there for them. When they look at themselves is to making sure that – don't get caught up in the detail of, you know, how good and how big South Africa were and how dominant they were. Probably just more focusing on their individual jobs and their individual roles.
Yeah.
Especially at scrum time because that was under pressure. Their kicking game wasn't accurate and their attacking breakdown, just being able to speed up their ball, get clean ball so their halfback, Jake Gordon, can get it out to Noel Olesio and let him feed some two influential players being Hunter Paisami and Lenny Kitau. I think if they can do that, maybe like they can
give themselves a better chance.
Yeah, give themselves a better chance. So that's... For the Wallabies, I reckon that's where they need to be. Just making sure that they don't get lost in the result, focus on their job and get their detail right and build those layers leading towards this year and beyond. And it looks like probably Marika Korombete will come in a little bit earlier than expected. He's been playing over in Japan and with Filippo Dangunu having a leg injury. Looks like he's broken his leg. He's going to be out for some time. It'll be a great addition having someone like Marika coming back into the fold because, Marika Korombete, he's been a John Eels medalist before. He's won it twice. I think last year it was Rob Valentini, but before that it was him back to back. His experience would be definitely needed coming in, against a red-hot Springboks team. We also saw another upset with New Zealand going down to Argentina. Did you catch this game?
Yeah, I've seen a bit of that. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Honestly, I honestly couldn't. The fact that
well done to Argentina,
absolutely
far out.
They played some good footy, Argentina, man. And it seems like Argentina's the Kiwis' bogey team. I think they always have
like that, eh?
The way Argentina plays, they play with that flair as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they aren't afraid
to throw the ball around.
But what they couple that with is being direct and confrontational as well. They've got some big men in their team.
The physical,
battles. So they're able to win some of the contact battles and then earn the right to get those offloads away. They also have really good goal kickers. So for Argentina, it's a big win. It seems like Wellington is not the place to play for New Zealand to play because they've only won one out of seven test matches in Wellington. You flip the script and you go to Eden Park, they haven't lost there since
Stay there.
Just stay there. Why would you share the love? Well, hopefully the Wallabies can play in Wellington. I think that'll give us a chance.
Yeah.
Mark Telea was a try scorer in that game, but obviously they're All Blacks. They don't lose two games in a row. They don't do that. So they'll be red hot for this week coming. And in other news, we saw some coaching signing news last week with Tim Sampson going over as the attack coach for the Fijian Drua. This week they've just announced as well that Chris Gibbs is named as a forwards coach for the Drua men team. And he's of Ratuman heritage. Also, reportedly, I think he was born in Suva as well. So
really well, yeah.
I think it's great news for the Fijian Drua. A lot of experience, but also... as well, having our Pacifica coaches involved, not just on the playing field, but also in the coaching staff, in the ranks there. So there's some good signs for the Drua. They just keep building and building. And that's all I have for you for Rugby Union news. Will, not much happening until Pacific Nations Cup kick off on the 23rd of August. And we're going to go over to the NRLW news because Shelley Long is not here today. Another public holiday in North Queensland, I think. So let's start off with the NRLW results. We saw the Roosters 20-4 against the Tigers. Three losses in a row now for the Tigers. 4-4 with about, I think it was about 10 or 12 minutes to go. So they were in the fight. Your sister was playing for the Roosters. Did she mention much about the game after it?
Yes, she did. She come home obviously after and we spoke about it. And they weren't underestimating the Tigers mentally, but I suppose maybe they were subconsciously because, obviously they were favourites, the Roosters, to win, but the Tigers played really well. And as you mentioned, it was a close game the whole way. The Tigers took it to him. And I felt like the Tigers, the longer the game went on and the closer their scores were, they were building in confidence. But I suppose at the end, just with a bit of skill and experience, the Roosters ran away with it in the end.
Yeah, they're just missing some key players. I think the Tigers, just to be able to making sure that ice those games when the pressure's building and not leak too many points in such a short amount of time. Salah was outstanding in that game. I thought she's been trying hard. She's been avoiding us on Nijan Footy Fridays because she's trying to get that win before she comes back on. But she should be proud of her efforts, and hopefully the win's not too far away. Then we also saw the Raiders take on the Sharkies. The Sharkies, three games in a row now. They're on fire, winning 24-12 in Canberra. Samoa Matalfa and Tiana Penatani were both outstanding in that game.
Here we head on to the Cowboys versus the Eels. The Eels winning 20-6. We have PNG Orchids skipper Elsie Albert, who ran for 218 metres. And Kennedy Cherrington as well, who made 44 tackles. Big effort from both those women. And the Broncos versus the Titans. What about this, Sammy? Mele Hufanga, four tries plus five line breaks. She matches her own NRLW record for tries in a game and gets all six Stellium votes.
We mentioned her on Friday, just talking about, I guess, being in the system now for 3 and a bit years, how much her shape and her physicality and sort of looking like that elite athlete now, and it's just not like the one-off big run.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she's consistent, effort on effort. Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's sometimes an issue with our Polynesian people. Some early in careers, there's always that one big hammer run followed by a lengthy period of rest. But as you mentioned, her effort on effort and being able to back up her runs has been humongous. She should play for the men's team.
Yeah, mate, she wouldn't look out of place, that's for sure. She was very, very good, and they'll need her leading to the back end, obviously with the start that the Broncos had. That's a boost to their confidence. And we also saw the Knights go down to the Dragons at home, first time in 11-game winning streak the Knights were on. And the Dragons upset them 18-10 in that one. So Sharkies are 3 from 3. Every team besides the Tigers has at least one win. So it's looking like another tight season, and we'll go right down to the wire when it comes to finals footy. And next up, here we go. Is your brother ready to go? Yeah, make sure. Is he sure? Make sure. If he's not, we get him on the line. But let's get straight to Lehigh Hopewate.
Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona.
Well, Will, I'm going to put it out there. The Hopewate family has to be one of the most gifted families, like seriously, in the world. Lehigh made his debut for Manly this season at the age of 19, and the Hopewate family became the first family in a century to have 5 siblings play in the NRL and NRLW, and you throw in your old man, and then there's 6. So it's quite remarkable, and we have the 5th member here today with us. I don't think he had a choice, but Lehigh Hopewate, welcome to Nijan Footy, bro. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for the call up.
No worries. Hey, firstly, when I first read your name, Lehi, you know, I guess in the Tongan pronunciation, it would be Lehi, and I was listening to the commentators saying, Lehigh Hopewate. I was like, man, are they getting this wrong?
18 minutes gone in this second half. Dummy half, Simpkin goes to the left of Brooks, out the back to Humphreys, then links up with Trebojevic, gets it away to Lehigh Hopewate, and he's over to score the try.
I asked my wife as well, is it Lehi or Lehigh? She goes, no, it has to be Lehi. Anyway, I'm having an argument with our producer just saying, mate, it's Lehi, bro. I put my house on it. And then when Will came in the other week, he told me, he goes, nah, it's Lehigh. And I was like, damn it, I've got it wrong. Swallow. But where does the name Lehigh come from?
Well, I was named after my grandpa's brother. Yeah, I think it's a toss-up between if you're really Tongan or like plastic Tongan too. Or like my cousins, my grandmas and stuff, they call me Lehi. And I don't even know myself.
Oh, so I'm not far. I wasn't completely wrong then.
Yeah, I think both of you is all right, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll take that then. All right, I'll take that. Well, your big bro's here co-hosting with us today. So if you've got anything to get off your chest, now is the time to do it, and he's going to kick us off here. Let's go.
And so, Lehigh, not many people know, but we live across the road from each other. And so if you just look out the window, is anything wrong with the house at the moment at my place? Or is it all good?
I'm actually looking at it right now. It's a good view.
Good to know. And so, Leo, for you, obviously you're playing first grade. You've played a couple of games now. What's the journey been like for you playing NRL?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm just trying to soak up all the experience I can get. Now I'm playing right now because of injuries. So yeah, I'm just taking the opportunity with both hands. Yeah, I'm just trying to learn as much as possible. So when I do go back down to whatever cup or flag, yeah, I'm able to take those skills and apply into the lower grades.
Man, you would have been surrounded by rugby league environments your whole life and seen the ups and downs of what the NRL has to offer. Is it everything you expected when you ended up making your debut?
Honestly, I thought it was going to be like harder because since I was surrounded by legends of the game like Cherry Evans, Luke Brooks, they just made my game very easy and, you know, they're just telling me where to go, what to do. They're literally telling me how to play, which is like, which makes my job easier. So, yeah.
And Leon, this past preseason, you were only on a train and trial deal. And for those that might not know what train and trial is you get called to train with first grade just for the preseason from November to February. You play the trial matches and then you go back down and play with cup or flag. And so that was Lehigh's situation just as of last year. And then only 2 weeks before you made your debut, 2 or 3 weeks, you got called to train full-time. So you're just obviously training once a week with first grade, 2-3 weeks before you make your debut, you become full-time. What was that whole scenario and situation like for you?
Yeah, I made it a big goal of mine to try and at least get train and trial full-time so I didn't have to go back to work.
It's a great motivator.
Lucky enough to have a pretty good preseason. And after my training trial finished, I was with flag once a week, with first grade once a week, and I was with cup once a week. So I'll go flag, NRL, cup. And I was doing that process for about 3 to 4 weeks. And yeah, lucky enough, I got the call up to train full time and I ended up getting my debut. So yeah. Blessing.
Well, Pani said told us a really cool story about your dad before one of her games. Can't remember if it was a debut or not, and it was a text message just saying, "Hey, have you paid your rent?" before her game in the change room. Mate, did you have anything better from the old man or the mum just around, you know, your advice and wishing you well in your debut game?
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that story from my sister. Yeah, I think my dad's just always been like that, very just straightforward, not beating around the bush, just tell you how it is, and I guess sometimes the hard truth is always the best advice.
Yeah, rent's important, absolutely. Make sure you pay it.
Yeah, and speaking of dad, do you recall the time when I saved your life and career from dad after you were not playing so good in a game?
Tough love.
Speaking of tough love, can you maybe share with the audience? He told you to come off the field and I got you into my car quickly and we took off before your life ended. Can you can you share a little bit about that story?
Yeah, it was our under 12 semi-finals. Yeah, I was having a shock of a game and towards the end, I think I dropped the ball. And the game hadn't even finished yet, and he told me to get off. So I got off, and the boys continued playing on with 12 players. I think we're only down by like 6 or 8, so like we still had a chance of winning it. But he was just that angry, told me to get off. I was so embarrassed, I was crying. And yeah, lucky Will saved my life that day. I think we were driving around for about 6 hours.
Just is that how long it took for him to cool off?
I had to keep him away. I was like, let's go for a drive before your life ends after this game.
Well, to be honest, you've just answered my next question because I wanted to ask, you know, like it probably happens in a lot of cultures, but in Tongan cultures, like there's the expectation of the eldest sibling to do really well. Say if it was footy, make sure you do well, go to uni, and there's a lot more pressure on the eldest. But as you have more kids, it sort of gets relaxed. And I was going to ask, you know, did it get a little bit more relaxed by the time it came to you, Lehigh? And obviously you've just answered my question, but you know, what's Will been like as a another father figure and mentor in your journey into not only being a good rugby league player, but also a man off the field as well?
Yeah, a massive role model. Yeah, for my siblings and I feel like his way of life from the age of like start of high school to now, he's like such a role model for us younger siblings. He's like paved the way of good choices, like what good choices takes you in life. And yeah, just to follow his footsteps as much as possible.
Thanks, Leo. You can take my car to training now. And so I've never asked you before, but obviously dad debuted, then you seen me, Albert and Jamil debut. I remember as a kid, I felt somewhat pressure needing to debut just because I was, you know, Hopper's son, dad's son. But you were obviously under a bit more pressure with, you know, three of your older brothers plus your dad making the NRL debut. Did you feel that or see that as pressure, or you just sort of took it as it came?
Yeah, I've seen it as pressure since primary. You know, all my older brothers always made those rep teams coming through school, and I never really made it. So I was always like thinking to myself, like, why do these guys have to be so good for me to try and fill their shoes? I'm just trying to live my life. But yeah, growing up, I didn't make any of those rep teams. So yeah, I definitely had doubt in my mind. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I get to rest a bit.
Oh, so you didn't make any of like the, like say, New South Wales CHS or the Harold Matts or SG Ball squads coming through the system?
Yeah, like Aussie schoolboys, like New South Wales, 16, 18. Yeah, and like my brother made it, Albert made it, I think my dad made it too. Even in like the primary ages, under 12s, 13s, New South Wales, my brother's made it, I've never made it, so yeah.
What kept you on that path of pursuing your dream then, if you didn't make those teams, and you're saying you're feeling the pressure of your older siblings and your dad, like, you know, being that pinnacle, you know, what kept you on that path?
My brothers and my dad, I was just very eager to try and get the bet, like try and be better than them, so they can stop telling me what to do. Yeah, it's always been a goal of mine, yeah, just try and strive to be better than my brothers and my dad. And
with that, Leo, I think it's your story, I think, is important for parents of kids that are in sport that might be perhaps too hard when they're little, that, you know, you don't always have to make the rep teams as you're coming through. There's always opportunities to bloom later. And your journey to the NRL definitely shows that. And a lot of people I, you know, see and hear people speak about the silky skills and hands that you have. People don't know that you played touch growing up, where that, I feel, helped develop your catch and your pass and those silky hands. Tell us about touch and how that helped with your skill development.
Yeah, I think Sean Johnson and Andrew Johns have said it before about young halves coming through, they should start with touch. Yeah, so since I didn't make those rep teams, I had to look somewhere else. Ended up at touch. But yeah, I loved it. It's good fitness. Good work on your crafts, footwork, hands, everything. It's mad.
Well, you definitely showed that out on the field with some nice tries, as well as that beautiful ball on the inside the other week. Was outstanding. You know, as a kid growing up, what was your favourite memory, you know, watching your older siblings or being in amongst camps or training sessions like that? What's your fondest memory when you look back growing up as a kid in a rugby league household?
The State of Origin 2015-16. I was lucky enough to be the ball boy that game. And yeah, I was footy mad. I wasn't old enough to understand the game of footy when my brother won the grand final in 2011, so I don't really remember much. But yeah, probably my biggest memory was the State of Origin, being able to be amongst the crowd, the players that I looked up to, and I got to see them in real life on the sideline. Like, yeah, it was so surreal.
Man, when you say 2015, I'm thinking, I feel old. Like, I'm like, 2015, that's not that long ago, but I forget you're only 19.
And Lehi, you went to Vegas earlier this year in round one. You didn't get to play, but many were surprised that you got called into the squad, just especially because you were on train and trial, and usually teams that went over to Las Vegas, they pick out of their top 30 squad who's going to go. They pick 22 players. out of that top third, and you obviously weren't top 30 in that time. Yeah. And I remember we were just about to go to church, and you were very happy, had a big smile on your face because you got the call from Siebes. How was that experience, knowing that you were outside the top 30, yet you got the call up to go with the squad to Vegas?
Yeah, wow, that was such a surreal feeling. That Sunday morning, I just woke up and Siebes called me. Like, the only time usually when they text you or message you, like, negative thoughts come to my mind straight away. Oh, what did I do wrong? But yeah, he ended up calling me that morning before church. I just woke up, so I had to, you know, start walking and get my my morning voice out the way. called me Sunday morning, told me he was going to bring me over to Vegas just for experience. He ended up calling and said, I'm looking to debut you in the next tour with 24 months. We want to take you over to Vegas just for experience. And to be on training trial and to jump ahead of some of the boys, that was a big blessing of mine. I actually still can't believe that. I was still like starstruck seeing the boys at training at that time. So to be on the same plane as them, I was over the moon, even the experience in Vegas too. So yeah, that's a massive blessing.
I'm sure you would have had to ask for some money from the old brother. The training trial contracts aren't massive, and with the exchange rate in America, their next phone call would have been, "Hey, let me borrow some banger, please."
Yeah, I did.
And speaking of star figures, some of the older Tongan players, I've spoken to Siliva Havili and Jenko, Michael Jennings, they have told me they feel really old now seeing you, you know, playing first grade because of how you were, you know, the ball boy, the bum boy in Tongan camp. If you can help share with the audience what your role was in camp and, you know, what you did as a young boy and how that experience was for you.
Yeah, growing up, I was lucky enough to attend a Tongan camp with my dad. I don't even know what role he had in the staff at the time. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be in that camp. I think I went to the Tongan camp 2-3 times within the last decade or so. And I was growing up with like Damalolo, Jenko and that in their prime. Even my brother Will, I was able to attend the game where they beat Australia. Yeah, so I've known them for quite a long time now.
As someone a bit older in the older generations, like that movement that your brother and Damalolo and Andrew Fifita, you know, when they moved over to Tonga, like it was buzzing. You know, you're in camp as a 12, 13-year-old kid. What was it like for you showing up to school, you know, saying that I was in camp with the Tongans and just seeing all those type of players and just experiencing that whole environment?
Yeah, I was showboating, to be honest. Telling all the boys how proud us Tongans are. You know, big star figures of the game, and they were willing to, pull Tonga first and play for their heritage. So, yeah, of course, I was showing the boys, telling the boys how it's done in a way, growing up through school. But yeah, I think that was a big example for the younger generation to, play for your heritage first.
Would playing for Tonga be one of those goals maybe later on in the year?
Yeah, of course. Hopefully I get the call, I'll take it with both hands. Yeah, that's a goal of mine to even just be around the squad, even if I don't play, get that experience too.
Yeah, well, I obviously I'm a bit biased, but hopefully, you get opportunity to play. I know that Tonga plays in the Pacific Championship against Australia and New Zealand this year, and if you do get the opportunity, you'll be able to play in front of the wonderful Red Sea, as they call it, in Auckland. There's nothing like it, and hopefully, whether it's this year or in the future, you're able to get that opportunity. And Lehi, you a lot of people see that you've played obviously wing, you played fullback, you played a bit of centre in cup. What is your favourite position and why?
My preferred position is fullback. I think it's just because I get to roam around the field freely, you know, whether it be in attack, even in defence, can be in the line sometimes, hang back.
Would that be determined on if your dad's watching at the back or not, if you want to be fullback or in the front line? Because I'm just thinking if you're at the back there, you're a bit closer to that fence, him yelling from the back.
Leo, people don't know that you and Bunny are only 10 months apart. Is that right, 10 months?
Yeah. 10 months.
And growing up, we always, you know, would give you stick about being so skinny and she was so thick. And it's still the same today where she's the prop and got all the meat and the power, and you're obviously a lot more slimmer. But that obviously hasn't come intentionally. How was that like growing up, seeing that your sister was always a bit thicker than you were, and that you wanted to put on more weight but just couldn't? What was that whole experience like growing up and even now?
I hated it, to be honest. Growing up, and probably until I was like 16, 17, I think that's when I finally got over my sister. But growing up, she was always faster, stronger, more athletic. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons why I stayed in footy too. She was one of my big motivators. But yeah, growing up, she was, we played together. So she always got the praise, and I was like, just give me the praise instead. But yeah, no, I'm grateful for her. Yeah, love her to bits. Yeah, growing up, she was just, she was a freak. And even now, to see her playing NRL, I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, she's definitely a beast on the field. I remember seeing her warm up for against the Sharkies, hitting the tackle pads or the hit shields, and you just hear that noise of the hit shield. You know, when they get a clean hit, you go, "Oh, that's a good hit." Playing, what's it like playing against have you played against your brothers yet? Like at Canberra or anything like that, or even your cousin Tony at the Titans? Have you played against them?
Nah, not yet.
So what's that dynamic like? Have you thought about what it's going to be like to play against one of your brothers you grew up with, and do they know, or do you know who your family's going to support? Are they going to be in a Raiders jersey, or are they going to be in a Manly jersey?
Well, I think they'll be in a Manly jersey, to be honest. I've always thought about versus my brothers or my cousin. Every time I look at them, I always think that since they're older, they're always the strongest one, or like I always have to listen to them in terms. So I think that's the only exemption on the field where I get to say my true feelings and nothing. Yes. Then after the game, if they tell me about it, I was like, it was in the moment. I'm sorry.
in the heat of the moment. Bottled it all up.
See, I love it, man. Yeah. That's where you become a man. Like, here we go.
Being on the field is the only exemption where I get to be a grub and tell him how it is.
Well, you're lucky we didn't play and you weren't a grub against me. But I got to play against Albert when he was at Manly.
Yep.
And I was at the Bulldogs, and that was a special family occasion. Mum came to the game. She had a shirt that was half Bulldogs and half Manly, which was pretty cool. And so hopefully you get that experience to play against Albert one day, or even Bonnie. One of our other brothers playing up in the Queensland Cup. And maybe, hopefully one day play alongside him, whether it be Clubland or internationally for Tonga. I think that'll be a great blessing for our family. And speaking of our family, do you have any stories about, you shared one earlier about Dad in your junior footy, but as an adult growing up, any stories about Dad that you'd like to share with us at this moment?
One of the main ones is with the loud crowd around, somehow I'm always able to hear his voice, just get involved.
I don't miss that. You've got a decade plus to look forward to that. I don't know how and why, but there's just, like you said, there's just the blur. The crowd is so noisy, but you can just always hear, "Hey." You just know that voice. Get involved. Get the boy. Just like, how can my ears hear that specific voice?
even in the NRL, there was this one game, I think we were versing, I think it was the Dragons. At halftime, we were going back into the sheds. We were playing just at Brookvale. And where the sheds are, they usually block off just outside the sheds, so no one can like talk to us while we're walking in the sheds. And somehow my dad got through the security guard, and when I was walking by, he slapped my head and said, "Yeah, get involved." Security guard, do their job, please. Like, in my head, I was like trying to focus on the game, and so I was just doing what he wants.
Bro, that is outstanding. Just a little party on the back of the head. That's outstanding. I know, obviously, there's a lot of stories around Dad and your siblings. What about Mum? Like, her role being in a rugby league household and bringing up a bunch of rugby league players, you know, how much of an impact has she had on everyone's career that you've seen, but also personally yourself?
Yeah, massively. I think my mum's the foundation of us, of having footy careers. She's very big on us, on having the balance in life, not just footy mad all the time, just having a good balance off the field too, which will help with our career in footy. So I think, my mum's the foundation of why we play footy and how we should approach the life of footy too.
And Dad's obviously, speaking of mum and dad, Dad's obviously known in the media and the public as the bad boy. But we know as brothers, as siblings, and all of our siblings, that we're all scared of mum.
Really?
As opposed to dad. Yeah, we don't really fear dad when it comes into the home. We're petrified of mum. because of, as Lehi says, she obviously keeps us grounded and tells us what to do. Like, Lehi's obviously playing first grade, and I was lucky enough to have a career, but to her, we're still her kids, and she still puts us in our place anytime and anywhere. And you spoke about off-field balance. We're a family that's grown up, like many Polynesian families, in church. How has church played a role in your life and career?
It's been great. Not to always put my mum has always taught us not to put footy first, to always put God first, God and family. And so that's what I was saying before, the off-field balance, to, if you put God first in terms of everything, then, your footy career will go how you want. So, that's how I'm trying to balance my life right now.
Has, that church life, but also Tongan culture, does that help you balance your, I know Tongan culture is a bit entrenched in the church as well, but, all the little things around what we do as Tongans, does that ground you as well and help you with your preparation into high performance?
Yeah, definitely, in terms of being humble. I think not going about after every game. And I think a big one is just returning the glory where it should be. So, my brother, my mother, religious-wise, have taught me a lot of things about how to be like a young man.
And I look after a youth group at church, boys between 12 and 17, and we run, activities during the week, and we have a Sunday school class at church, and Lehi was in our class yesterday helping me out with the lesson. And obviously you're still a young man yourself, Lehi, but what, I suppose, advice would you give to those younger than you in their youth, like the kids that we had in class yesterday, about footy and about life?
I think we all obviously make bad choices daily. I think just always remaining a student, whether it be in footy or in life, always like learning from your mistakes will definitely be a good one that I'll obviously take it up upon myself, footy-wise and life-wise. That's probably a big factor that's played in my life.
Yeah, I love that, man. At the end of the day, especially where you are now, you've seen it growing up and seen it all around, it all comes down to your decisions at the end of the day. Whether you want that 10-year career on the field, it's all based around your decision-making and your habits. So I love the fact that that's your advice to the younger kids coming through. And obviously you've got a long way to go as well in navigating your NRL career. But from all of us here at Nijan Footy, I really want to thank you for coming on here and sharing your stories and just being, a real role model for the younger generation coming through. Even though you're such a young man yourself, I've loved watching you play. I've loved watching your brother play, your old man play, so I feel old as well. But I wish you nothing but love for the rest of your career. Hopefully we can see a lot more of you scoring tries and achieving everything you wanted, bro. So all the best, and get off to training and don't be late.
I'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Hi, it's Ivani Ippoliti, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Nijan Knowledge.
Yes, it's Nijan Knowledge. It's at the back end of our show. Each week we get the Nijan Knowledge test out. It's back to you. When you came on last time, did you have the questions last time?
Yeah, I had the questions, yeah.
That's right, because T messaged me saying that were just too easy. Too easy. And then someone told him what your actual questions were, because you actually changed it here to make them harder. And he couldn't believe it. Like, he goes, what, just say which team won on the weekend? Is that is that how easy he wants to make the questions?
Sorry, T, you're about to lose some more points.
No, don't apologise to that guy. With the score update, I'm just in front here, 11.5 to 10.5. So, Hopper, what have you got for me here to increase my lead?
All right. If you shout me lunch, I'll ask easy questions.
Easy done. Lunch and dinner, easy.
All right, sorry, T. All right, so I got a one rugby union question and two rugby league questions. All right, it's first rugby union. As you mentioned, Hunter Paisami scored the only try, unfortunately, for the Wallabies. Speaking of Hunter, what year did he make his Wallabies debut and against who?
Oh, that's actually hard, mate. You're supposed to make it easy for me. Hunter Paisami, how long has he been there? I reckon he made his Wallaby debut, I'm going to say 22.
And against who?
And against two. Oh, that's a... I'm just going to have a punt and just go against the All Blacks.
All right, so half a point.
Oh, did you get half a point?
Yeah, well, it was the All Blacks. They played New Zealand.
Oh, they played New Zealand.
But it was actually, he made his Wallabies debut in year 2020. They played New Zealand in Wellington, and it was a 16-all draw, fun fact.
Well, there you go. We talked about Wellington.
Oh, yeah.
So they were close to Wallabies. Yeah, so it really is not a great hunting
surely
ground.
If you're the Wallabies management, you're teeing up to play in Wellington.
Wellington, you will have this fixture in Wellington. Wellington. Signing in for the next 20 years.
All right. So that's half a
half
point.
A point. Half well, a that point. Increased my lead. So I'm on 12 now. 12. Perfect.
All right. Question number two. Para Penrith, the Battle of the West in rugby league. Great try. They scored at the end. Cleary kicked the goal to win with about 2 minutes to go. Panthers won 36 to 34. Now, the Panthers scored six tries. However, there were only three players that scored, so they each got a double. Ornesian players, who
all
were
right.
they?
All right. Sunia Taruva was one of them. Brian To'o was the other one. Tango was the other one.
Wow.
Yes. Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Hey, that was good, Sammy.
Do you know how I got that one?
Oh.
It's because we had it on TV.
Sorry, T.
Yeah, so Tiana spat that fact out, and I was like, ooh, that's pretty interesting.
Wow.
So stuck with me.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, hey,
good recollection
go.
Of the yes, mind, I know. Sammy.
I'm usually a goldfish, but thank you. There's ooh, there we go.
That's a whole point, Sammy.
That's 1.5. I think that's the most of anyone's got in the last 10 weeks, 1.5.
Fire out.
Here we go.
And you remember that quick. All right, final question. Warriors versus Dolphins. The Dolphins won in Golden Point, 34-32, thanks to a Sean O'Sullivan field goal. However, in that game, who was the first try scorer?
The first try scorer. We didn't cover this game on the show, so... who do they play? Warriors and Dolphins.
First try scorer.
I'm just going to go Dallin.
Dal. Unfortunately, it was incorrect. One that probably not many people would have guessed. It was Felice Galfusi.
Was her?
Yeah, off a grubber.
Has he still got the haircut, mullet?
Yeah, party at the back.
Party at the back.
Business at the front.
It's just because he can't grow it at the front. That's why there's party at the back. Well, that's our time up and the score for that. Beautiful. 13 plays 10.5, and it's looking like the tattoo will be on T's bum at the end of the year. But that's our time up for another Nijan Footy Friday. Remember, you can catch up on all of our chats with athletes like Alan Alatoa, Avani Politi, and plenty more wherever you get your podcasts. Will, thank you so much for filling in.
Thanks
hopefully we
Sammy.
Can get you back in very, very soon. You're outstanding, mate. Cheers.
Thank you.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.